was told Ziggy gave a bumper on this. I only found out today, though, so this was prepared before that. So we'll find out if I do, if I got it right, okay, based on what Ziggy said in his bumper. You'll tell me afterwards. Okay, let us start. What is the main source of discussion between regarding gambling and halacha? The main source comes from a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that discusses people who are pasul la'edut, meaning they are forbidden from testifying. And the Mishnah says, "Ve'elohin atzulin hamesachik bekuvia, people who play with a dice, with a die. Ba'amal ve'beribin, people who lend money with interest, etc. Sochrei shvit, people who do business with the produce from the shvit here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said..." Okay, so that was the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Emetai, Bizman she'im lahen umanut elohu. Aba yesh lahen umanut shalohu k'sherin. If they have omanut. Omanut means that they have another craft, a trade, another job. As in, if the guy is a mesachi mekubia, he's a gambler, that's what he does, then he is puzzled to testify. But if he has another job, he's a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, mechanic, whatever he is, and on the side he just happens to gamble, so then he can still be kasher for testimony. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara tries to understand what is wrong with each of these, and it goes through them all, but the first one it goes through is Mesachik Bekubia, people who play with dice. Micah Ovid, what's he doing wrong? Amr Rabbi Bar Chama, Mishum Dahava Asmachta, Vasmachta Lo Kanya. So the first issue we have is, this is Asmachta. And asmachta is not kona. What does that mean? Okay, thank you. What does that mean? What is asmachta? So let us start. We'll come back to the rest of the source 1. Let us go to source 2. And we'll discuss Rashi's cases. In order to define what asmachta is, we'll give a few examples and it'll become clear. Asmachta, Rashi. Haimu davar de'eno notin lo midato, ela somech al davar she'eno, de'sabur shehu yachol l'natzeach, ufamim shemratzbin oto. What is asmachta? Asmachta is that the person is relying on something. And because he is relying on that, he thinks he's going to win. He thinks he won't have to pay. In the end of the day, when he has to pay, he is not doing it wholeheartedly. And therefore, it is a problem. Okay. Then there's the other view that says, wait a second. And then this will help make it clear. Amar, Rav Sheshet Amar, Kol ki agavna, any case like this one, Mesachik Bekubia, lav asmachta hi. No, it's not asmachta. So then, what is the problem? Ella, lefi she'ein asukin b'yeshuvo shel olam. The problem isn't asmachta, which we have yet to define. Okay? But the first problem was asmachta. He says, no, it's not a problem of asmachta, which we'll define in a second. But the problem isn't asmachta. Rather, the problem is that the person who does this is not taking part in making the world a better place. My being Aihu, similar to what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Ikeben Aihu de Gamar Omanut Ahariti. Once again, he has another job. He's able to make the world a better place. He's a doctor, a social worker, a psychologist, psychiatrist. He's a wonderful person. Hospital administrator. On the side, he happens to gamble. So the problem here is ein asukin b'yeshuvo shel olam. The nafkamina is if you have another job. So one person says it's a smachta, and one person says it's not a smachta, but the problem is ein asukin b'yeshuvo shel olam. So what is this discussion over whether it's not a smachta or not? We have to define a smachta. So let us look at the second Rashi in source 2. Rashi says, Kolki Aygarna Lav Asmachta. Who Rav Sheshet says, no, that's not Asmachta. What is Asmachta? Kigom Dim Ovir Velo Avid Ashalim Bebeitva. The Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia tells a story. A man accepts upon himself to work a field. Okay? Reuven has a field, let's say. Shimon doesn't have a field. He wants to earn a living. So what does he say to Reuven? Reuven, let me have your field. I'll work it. And I'll do all the work. But because it's your field, you're the landowner, you'll get a third, a half, a quarter, whatever the going ratio is. So you give me the field. I'll work it. You'll get a portion of the produce. So you don't have to do any work. You'll get the produce. And so much so, I say this, that if I won't work, for some reason, I agree to do this, and then I get lazy and don't work the land, so what did you get? You just let your field lie fallow because the person who you agreed to let work the field was lazy. So I'll tell you what, I will give you the money anyway. I will pay you a nice chunk of money for not working the field. That is one example. Let's look at another example. What is that case? That case is the following. Let's say Reuven has... We'll make Shimon the poor person again. Okay? Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. So Shimon, at a certain point, pays back $500. And he says to Reuven, don't worry, I'll get you the rest of the money. Let me show you how sure I am I'm going to pay you back, how convinced I am. Let's give the shtar. The shtar is proof that I owe you money. Let's give it to Levi. If I don't pay you back in 2 weeks, Levi gets to give you back the shtar, you get to collect the whole $1,000 again. That's how much I'm trying to convince you that I plan on paying. So the Gemara says, what happens when he doesn't pay up in 2 weeks? That's asmachta. Asmachta lo kanya. Meaning, Shimon at no point intended to pay $1,500. He only intended to pay the other $500. He was just trying to buy himself time and convince Reuven to leave him alone. And he thought, for sure, I will have the other $500 in 2 weeks and it won't be a problem. So, when I agreed to pay an extra $1,000, I didn't really mean it. And that's what asmachta is. And it appears in one or two other places in the Gemara as well. But an asmachta is, the person says, I will pay you, and they don't really mean it. They don't have gemirut dat. Okay, they're not really sure wholeheartedly that they want to pay this money. For example, if I say to you, if you do that, I'll give you $1,000,000. I never saw $1,000,000 in my life. I don't know that I'll ever see $1,000,000 in my life. So what am I saying? I'm exaggerating. Trying to make a point, I'm trying to convince you. Okay? That is asmachta. Asmachta is when I say something to either try to convince you, or it is so unthought of that it's going to happen and going to work out that way that I'm never intended to actually pay that money. So asmachta is a statement, like a condition that I made where I agree to pay you, but I didn't really mean it. Question, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a shvuah? Wouldn't you make a shvuah?
No, I didn't swear about it. Shvuah is where you swear. This is just what I say. Okay, that's the arrangement we have. Okay. So, let us finish the Rashi. The sober calls him Yadi Lasor. I have no problem. I'll be able to get the other $500 that I owe him, and I'll pay him back. I never, ever intend to pay that other $500. That extra $500. And therefore, if it turns out that he doesn't pay up in time, you can't come and say, okay, pay up, give me the extra $1,000, because he didn't really mean it. He's mistaken and thinks it won't happen.
Here, in our case, gambling. Lo samach amidi. Rashi says, this case is different. Meaning, Rav Sheshet. This is Rav Sheshet. And this is Ami Bar Chama, right? So Rav Sheshet says, that's not a smachta. Because what is a smachta? A smachta is where I'm sure I can pay it, and therefore I'm not agreeing at all to pay it. Meaning I'm sure I can pay off what I owe, so therefore I'm not agreeing at all to pay anything extra. Rav Sheshet says, that's not a smachta here, because here, I'm not relying on my ability to somehow get $500. I am rolling dice. Oh, maybe somebody who's like some kind of gambling addict or doesn't understand odds and probability might think that he's really good at rolling dice. But really, when you come down to it, I could spin the winning roll or I could spin the losing roll. And therefore, I don't know if I'm going to win or not. Because I don't know, I'm not relying on anything for my ability to be able to win, to be able to get this done. Now that I'm not winning, I'm more able to say, okay, I'll pay this money. That's what Rashi says in Sefer Rosheshet. In other words, real asmachta is when you say, I'll pay this. If I don't pay up by next week, I'll pay the fine. And my intention is, I will never, ever, ever have to pay this fine. Because I have full intention and fully confident that I have the capabilities to pay up on time. And therefore, to pay the fine would be an asmachta. But this guy, what am I confident in? I'm confident in my ability to win a game of chance, probability. I have no control over it. And therefore, that's not a smachta. And so when I roll the dice, and I win or lose, so if I lose, I am agreeing to pay, and it's not a problem of a smachta, the lav v'zeilahi. And that, therein, is the problem. A smachta, when you collect money from somebody who doesn't really intend to have to pay it, you are essentially stealing. Now the Rishonim on those sukkahs, if we were to go in Eon and learn all those, but I was chas on your makoros. So if you go to learn all those sukkahs of asmachta, there's a machloket. Is asmachta kone midoraita, meaning is it really Reuven's and he could come and collect $1,000, but midorabanan is not, or is it not even kone? And just Rabbanan said that it's gzeila midorabanan for him to collect, meaning that is it gzeila midoraita? And meaning, is it his midoraita and Rabbanan said not to? Or is it not even his midoraita? And this is an additional gzera. But either way, Rami Bar Chama says, you can't gamble. Why? It's a smachta. Gzela midorabanan. Smachta equals stealing. Equals always asur. Asur tamid. Got it? According to Rami Bar Chama, there is no solution for gambling. If it's stealing, you're not allowed to steal. The other hand, Rav Sheshet says, the problem is that you are not helping to inhabit the world, to make the world a better place. What does that sound like? That it could be okay. As he says explicitly, when would this be okay? You have another job. Sometimes it can be allowed. Okay? So what we have here so far, before we've seen the rest of the Makorot, is if we pass him like Rami Bar Chama, so then there's no hope for our discussion. Gambling is usher. If we pass him like Rav Sheshet, so yes, it might be usher to be a bookie. To, own a racetrack or something. But it's not going to be a problem for me who's working in computers, law, whatever, and there's an office pool for the World Cup. Yes?
What about for the person who's got a job, but then to like gamble through a bookie. Kind
of, so you're saying then you're mafshil or lifnei iver of that guy.
So would that be usur?
That would be usur to help that guy out.
Cool.
But, okay. So we're going to see that to be the bookie and to deal with the bookie would be more problematic because it's not even okay according to Rav Sheshet. Yes? You're with me? Anybody questions before we move on? Okay. So, how do we pass it? Do we pass it like Rami Bar Chama or Rav Sheshet? And even within Rav Sheshet, we're going to have some explanations as to when it might be allowed. Let us start with the Shita of the Rambam. Okay? First, let's actually start with source 4 and 5. There's a Rambam. Source 3 is the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's go to the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. There's a Rambam in Mishnah Torah in Hilchot Eidut, and there's a Rambam in Mishnah Torah in Hilchot Zeila Va'Avedah. Without having learned the Halacha yet, what's going to be the topic of Hilchot Eidut? Whether somebody who gambles, I don't hear you,
can
he give testimony? Is he possible? Okay, what's going to be the Rambam in Hilchot Zeila Va'Avedah? Is it Asur? You're with me? Okay, this wasn't a trick question. That was what I'm trying to show you. Okay, so let's start with the Rambam in Source 4. Ketzar HaChamsanen. A Chamsan is a person who takes something from somebody but pays him, but he forces you. Okay? We're not talking about a person who steals something from you. Well, let's say you don't want to sell, and I force you to sell to me, and I even give you its fair value. You know, I go to an independent assessor, give you extra, whatever it is. But you don't want to sell it, and I force you to sell it. I take something against your will. So this is in Hilchot Eidus. They take land or metaltalin possessions. I take something from you against your will. Even though I give you the money. Such a person is pasul le'edun midirabam. There are people who are pasul le'edun midaraita. For example, two siblings. One can't testify for the other. There's a lot of different psulim. So this is pasul midirabam. As in Chazal said, a person who does this can't be a witness. V'chein mesach. Somebody who gambles. So the Rambam says, a gambler is also pasul eidus. When? When that's his only job. Because he is not helping inhabit the world. He is not making the world a better place. If that's his living, he is making his living based on taking money against the people's will from gambling. Shehu avak gezel. It is like stealing. What didn't he say? It's not stealing. Okay? He didn't say, don't let this person testify because it's stealing. He said, this person is assumed to be somebody who eats from gambling money, gambling profits, which is avak gezel. And he says, kubya bilvar. Okay, when we say gambling, we don't just mean kubya means dice. It doesn't just mean dice. Mesachim beklipeya gozim beklipe rimonim chelo yon bilvar. You bet on birds. You mesachim behema chayva of. You bet on horses. Kol akodim chayvera. Whichever one wins. Kol nonzet chayvera. You tov balav et shneihen. You win. V'chein kol kayotze b'schok zeh. It's a game. V'hu shelot yelo umanut el schok zeh. If you're only source of living is these games. Hare zeh puzzle. You are puzzle for elut, for edut, b'chol elut psul midrayim. What kind of soul? Soul midrabanan. Because again, we said this likely isn't asur midoraita. It could be that it's chol midoraita, but chazal or dozer, zeila midrabanan. This is stealing on a rabbinic level. And if you steal on a rabbinic level, you're puzzle edus on a rabbinic level. That is the Rambam in Hilchot Eidut. Now let's do the Rambam and Hilchot Zeila Va'Avedah. Fine. Hamesachim bekubya ketzan. Elu shemesachim be'etzim o betzurot. You play with trees or rocks or batzamot, bones. Chayotze bahem. Ho'osim tznai b'nehem. You make a deal. Shekol anotzeach et chaviro b'otoas. Ho'ki kach mimenu. Whatever it is you're doing. First one to get 10 in a row in a bucket. Whatever the game is. Hare ze gezel midabrayim. That is zela midarabam. Afa pisha baratzon abalim laka. Even though he's okay with it. As in you ask him, hey, did you agree to pay me the money if I win? Yeah, that was the deal. I win, I get the money. You win, you get the money. Hoel v'lakach mamon chaveiro b'chinam deres schok. Because you took his money for free as part of a game, rather than earning an honest living, v'hatel schok v'hatel, meaning games and fun, hare ze gezel, it's stealing. My horse wins the race, your horse loses the race, I win your horse, I win your money. It is all forbidden, and it is stealing midrachon. Look at the first sentence. How did he end? If you take your friend's money as part of a game, hare ze gezel. It is stealing.
Did he say
like what?
Before he said kmo gezel.
Good! Say your question really loud. He didn't hear it in the back.
Didn't he say it's kmo gezel?
It's like stealing. So it's stealing, but you're only pasul midrabanan, and only if you don't have another job. One place he says, right? The Rambam Eidut says, you're only pasul Eidut if it's your only job. The Rambam Gzeilav Aveda says, it's gezel midrabanan. Why would that be? Right? One place it seems, no matter what you do for a living, taking money from gambling is gezel, even once. Yeah. So how can you be a gazlan? But then you're puzzled to Eidus only if you do it all the time, right? In source 5, we said, what does Rambam talk about in Hilchot Gzeilah Aveda? He talks about whether it's usher or not. And in Gzeilah Aveda, source 5, he says it's gezel. It's usher. You're not allowed to do it. And source 4, he says, but only if that's your only job. What, can I be a murderer as long as it's on the side? If it's gezel, then why are you puzzled to Eidus only if it's your only job?
Does it depend on the game? Like the status of the game? As in Source 5, it's about skills. Like accuracy.
So to answer this question, I have to teach you another rule about Hilchot Eidus. Those of you who stay here long enough to get smicha from Rabbanut, you will have to learn Hilchot Eidus for your test on marriage. Okay? The Sadr Chuppa V'Kiddushin, the Rabbanut, it's one of their 6 tests, how to perform weddings, and they have the laws of Eidut on the test. The laws of Eidut and Chosh and Mishpat, the rest of the laws of marriage are in Yoradeh, and Ebenezer, I mean, sorry. But they include 2 Simanim of Chosh and Mishpat, the laws of Eidut. So we have a rule when it comes to Eidut. And that is, when are you pasul to Eidut for doing something wrong? You're pasul to Eidut for doing something wrong only if you know it's wrong. And so, according to some, only if you know it's wrong and you know it's something that'll pasul you from Eidut. Okay, but that one we're not going to focus on. Only if you know it's wrong. Does gambling fit that criteria? Most people, when they gamble, do they know they're doing something wrong? No. They might think they're doing something wrong if they're a bookie. That I can already hear you. But most people, what, I'm entering the office pool, it's $5, $20, whatever. What's the big deal? They don't think they're doing something wrong. So the Rambam is aware of that. So in source 5, he says it's stealing. It is stealing. But most people look past this, like, nominal light form of stealing. And therefore, in source 4, he says, you're not puzzled at Eidus for it unless that's your only job, meaning because most people view it as like a little white lie, a little white sin I have. But that means that the Rambam is paskening like Rami Bar Chama. It is stealing. And it's always usur. So according to the Rambam, there is no solution to allow you to gamble in any form, even for one time a year, one time in 10 years, one time in every 4 years or every World Cup, etc. Question?
But he said, Azra, that it's lock stealing.
In Tovot Eidot.
Right.
So in Tovot Eidot, it's only light stealing because people are more ahead there for themselves, as in they're convinced that it's okay. So therefore, because
so
it's
not,
they think it's not stealing, and therefore it's not enough to make you possibly Eidot if it's your only job.
But
deep down, it is stealing, and therefore it's usur. So you can't do it, but if you did it, you're not possible to testify if you have a real job.
But how can that make sense that he said it's lock stealing? Because it says stealing. Even if it's their opinion, he's saying it as his opinion.
Different context.
In Hilchos Eidos, he says it's avakezel, it's like stealing. But then, because it's like stealing, it's only usur if that's your only job. Shelo tiela omenot el schok zeh. That's in Hilchos Eidos. But when it comes down to it, when he's talking whether it's stealing or not, his answer is, it's stealing.
But still, you should have said that.
He should have said that. Okay. But he's saying that this is why it's viewed as only so midrabanan, and only when it's your only job. Because when it comes down to it, it's avakesam. Yes?
The thing that Sosfah is talking about when he only has that as a job, the gambling.
No, he's saying it's usur to do that act at any time. It's stealing. Whether or not it's a problem for you to do that one time, that could be a different discussion, could be. And therefore he says, when people treat it, I'm not a gambler, I just happened to gamble this one time, so therefore, that guy's not possible to Eidos. Yes?
How can he still not be possible from Eidos then? Because it is stealing. And someone who steals cannot be. Even if they consider,
it's a shogun.
I don't consider.
Like I said, the rule for possible Eidos, a person knows you can't murder. So therefore, if he murders, we don't let him testify. A person doesn't know he can't gamble. So he's a shogun. He's a. It's not intentional, so therefore he can testify. Yes?
Is this in relation with non-Jews to Jews, or just Jews to Jews?
Right now, Jews to Jews. We'll see Jews to non-Jews is different. Fine. Let us look at source 6. Tosfot has a slightly different view than Rashi. Actually, Tosfot brings two views, one who seems to say the same thing as Rashi, and one who disagrees with Rashi. Because what did Rashi say? Let's look at the end of source 2 again. Rashi says, here, you don't know if you will win or not win. In other words, it's completely out of your hands. As opposed to the asmachta cases in the Gemara, I think I will somehow earn $500 next week. Why? Because I have a job, I do things, I work, so I'll be able to pay Reuven back the money. And therefore, when I don't, I failed at something, but I never thought it would come to that. Here, I'm spinning a dice. I know there's a very good possibility that I won't get my roll. That I won't get the 7, 11, whatever it is I'm supposed to get. Or I will get it. And therefore, it's not a smachta. Because I'm not relying on any ability I have. Says Tosfos, first Tosfos quoted that whole Rashi, source 6. And Rabbeinu Tam was maksha on this Rashi. He says, if you go read those sugyas, some of those things sound more like asmachta. Shaya miyado, milo miyado, amadalo haka miyado, havatve asmachta. The more it's out of your hands, the more it's asmachta mimashu biyado. As in, if you have some kind of control of it, then it's asmachta. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, "Hakol yagavna lava smachta, he de lo avia smachta ele hecha she'en yachol harviach." His definition of how to decide when something's a smacht or not is when you have a chance of winning. What happened in those cases? Let's go through the two we saw. One, I say to the guy, I'm going to pay you back $500 in the next 2 weeks. If I don't, you'll get $1,000. What do I get out of it?
What's up?
I have nothing to gain. I gained that the guy's going to stop pestering me for the money. I convinced him. But it's not. If I get it in 2 weeks, I'm going to get something back. And if I don't get it in 2 weeks, you're going to get something. It's all one way. I only stand to lose. That's a smachta. Here, if I get the full house, the flush, I win. He gets it, he wins. There's a chance both ways. If my horse wins, I win. His horse wins, he wins. I spin the 12, I win. He spins the 12, he wins. That's not a smachta.
It's not a smachta.
According to Rabbeinu Tam. As in gambling, isn't a smachta is when I have a way of doing it. Meaning I have a way to control it, to influence it. If it only hurts me, it's a smachta. I'll pay you $100 in 2 weeks. What do I get out of it? But in gambling, I can win. I'm committing to the loss because it's not one way. I'm willing to lose $100 on this dice roll, knowing that I can also win $100 on the dice roll. The sugya is where I'm convincing you to trust me. Trust me, I'll get you your money back. Trust me, I'll work your sada. If I don't work your sada, I'll pay you extra. There, only I can lose. In a bet, each side can win. So, is it a din, according to Rashi, skill and chance? Meaning, if there's a skill involved, if I have a way of controlling or influencing the outcome, so then it's a smachta, and where it's totally not in my control, it's totally up to luck and the odds and the wind and Hashem, so then it's a smachta. It's not a smachta, it's okay. That's Rashi's view. Or Rabbeinu's Tam view, it has nothing to do with skill and chance, but whether is it completely one-sided, or do I also stand to gain? Okay? So again, the Mishnah says Misachik Bikubya. No good. Why? So the Gemara says Rami Bar Chava says it's a smachta. And Rav Sheshit says, that's not a smachta. The problem is something else. So what is he saying? That's not a smachta. According to Rashi, he's saying, that's not a smachta, because there, he has some sort of semblance of control. I can earn the money. I never intend to pay you the extra money. And therefore, for you to come and collect the extra money, you're stealing from me. But when it comes to gambling on total luck, okay, I'm willing to accept the possibility that I'll have to pay you. Because it's totally out of my control. Meaning the idea that I'll have to pay up is more accepted by me because here I know it's completely out of my control. That's Rashi's view. Rabbeinu Tam says it has nothing to do with whether it's in your control or not. It has to do with whether you could also win. So in the first case where he's saying, give me another week to pay back, and if not, I'll pay you double. What's he saying? You just stand to gain. You can end up getting double if I don't pay back. What do I stand to gain if I pay up on time? Nothing. But here in our sugya, it's not a smachta. Rav Sheshit says to Rav Chava, that's not a smachta. Gambling's not a smachta because I can win. Of course I'm willing to pay up if I lose. Because I know I can also win. And that is the machloket Rashi and Tosfos. How does the Shulchan Aruch pass? The Shulchan Aruch, yeah?
Sorry, could you clarify what Tosfos is? I thought you said that Asmachta is when you have control of it. That's no. One side.
Rashi says, one side and control is the difference. Okay? Rashi says it's a din of whether you influence the outcome at all. If I borrow money from you and I want to pay you back, and you're saying pay up, so I say give me another week, and if not, I'll pay you double. I am pretty sure, why would I ever agree to pay you double? I don't have to pay you double. Why would I ever agree to that? Because I'm sure that if you give me a week, I can get you the money. And therefore, it's in my control. I know I can work, I can mow some lawns, I can walk the dog, make a few extra bucks here and there, and pay it back. And therefore, it's usher for you to actually collect the double, because I never really intended to pay the double. But yet, in gambling, Rashi says, it's okay, because I actually intend to pay a little bit, or a little bit more. Because, meaning it's more likely that I intend to pay, because I'm aware. I could win, I could lose. So where it's out of your hands completely, Rashi says it's not a smachta, it's not stealing. Where it's in my control, and then it doesn't work out for me, so for you to come and collect, that's stealing. That's Rashi's view. Tosafot has nothing to do with whether I can control it or not. Tosafot is whether or not I stand to gain or not. Whether if I agree to pay you double in order to allow me to pay you back next week, so, I don't stand to gain anything. If I pay you back next week, I paid you. I lost money. If I don't pay you back last week, I lost more money. What do I stand to gain? But here in the dice roll, if I get the winning spin, I win. I stand to gain. Okay, that's the difference between Rashi and Tosafot.
So, if you gain, then it's up. Is that smart or isn't it?
Say it again?
When you gain according to Tosafot, is it a smart or not?
It is not. When you stand to gain. Not based on whether you win or not. You can lose. Still not a smachta. But because you had a chance to win, that would not be a smachta. Yes?
So then seemingly both Rashi and Tosafot are going to go sheshet, but they think that our case isn't a smachta.
Well, Rashi and Tosafot are explaining Rav Sheshet. Okay?
So then how do they answer that? What?
So in other words, yeah, they're going to pass on like Rav Sheshet, because gambling isn't like that, and then it could be okay.
So they kind of dismiss Rami Barachan.
Yeah. So let us look out of the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. We're up to source 7. Two more sources. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Dvarim Sh'asru Chachamim Mishum Gezel. There are things that are Asur Midir Abana, because they are like stealing, meaning Gzela Midir Abana. Hazal said, this is stealing. The Torah didn't say this is stealing. Hazal said this is stealing. Ba'ober Aleim Harizei Gazel Midir Vein. Didn't need to pray. If you do them, that's stealing Midir Abana. For example, Mafrida Yone, Misaki Mekumbia, gambling. Okay, how is Misaki Mekumbia? Bet. How Misaki Mekumbia, Ketzad? Elish Misaki Me'itzim, Obetzur, Atzamod. Rocks, sticks, bones, Osim, Snaibe, Enchon, Atzef, Kavirobo, Deskoki, Kaka, Kaka. Whoever wins gets the pot of money. Then Misaki Mehimo, Bechaiba, Ovo, Bosom, Tnai, Shikop, Din, Atzef, Hamtov, this horse wins the race, I win, you lose, etc. Kolke, Utsevi, Dvari, Ma'ilu, Hakol, Asur, the Gezel midivrei. Yesh misha omer shemasachik bekubia. This is Gimel. Im aovi kachavim imbo mishum gezel. Since this is really technically allowed, and it's only chachamim who said that this is wrong because the guy doesn't have full gmiras das, but really deep down we know midoraita it's not gezel. So when Chazal made this rule, they only made it about taking the money of a Jew in a bet. If you do this, so that is part of doing things you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't spend your time taking a bet. You should be learning, and you should be helping make the world a better place. There's machloket with that person. And some people say, no, it's not a problem unless you have no other job. Where did he get this? This comes from the Rambam in Source 3. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah says, Amasakik v'kubi av masakik, bitnai shishalin kesev, mishi asakach, etc. Nesar zeh, it is asur, mipnei shumit asik ve'esek sh'ein bo toeled yishuv ha'olam. You are dealing with something that doesn't help the world. Be a sod hu b'toratina. We have a fundamental principle in the Torah. Here's the Musa of the Shir. She'en ra'oil adam ma'asik ra'atzmon bo'ol ma'zel b'chan mishnei dvarim. The only two things in the world you should be doing. O b'chachma la'ashlim b'ra'atzmon, wisdom, complete yourself. O b'esek, she'ol yilo b'kulon olam, come on, onu n'mishar. Or learn a business, a craft, a trade. So okay, you don't have to sit and learn all day. You're allowed to work for a living. Ro'oil ma'ein b'zel ar'bo b'rishon. Okay, so you shouldn't shouldn't spend your time working all day and never learning. You should do a little less business and learn more Torah. Okay? The world is not about making money, it's about growing. But certainly, even if you are going to make a living, you have to do something that's going to be helping the world. Why would someone who gambles be possibly this? What is the problem, really? And what? How is it related to Osek Mishu B'Shalom? The person who gambles, right? In the Mishnah, he's compared to Sofrei Shvid, people who do business with Shvid produce. Shvid produce is free. Shvid produce is free. Okay? Shvid is produce. Shvid produce is free. In other words, it's an easy business. I'll gather up all this fruit. Nobody will have free fruit anymore. Nobody will have any fruit. I'll sell it. Nice markup. Make an easy living. So Chazal saw this as too easy. A person who gets his money too easily, he doesn't really care about hard work. As in, you worked really hard to earn your money. So when Reuven and Shimon come before me and say, I lent him $100, and he says, no, he didn't. And, oh, you were a witness, what happened? So I'll lie about it. Why? Because what's the big deal? You got another $100 tomorrow. Just get a few more fruits. Gamble on a few more horse races. Chazal saw the people who were earning money from gambling as not treating it with enough respect as to how hard it is to earn a living. And therefore, they said he's pasul eidus. He cannot testify about money. You would not want a person who eats treif to be your mashkiach kashrus. So you wouldn't want somebody who's too flippant about earning money to be adjudicating or testifying about any kind of this monetary dispute. Okay? So, for those who are sfardim, there is no solution for this gambling. It is usher to gamble in any way, not the local pool, office pool of the World Cup, not even one time. There is no solution. Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, it's usher. There's no solution. Okay, not even one time, not even one little poker game. Now let's do Ashkenazi. Okay? Source 7, Siv Gimel. Shulchan Aruch, Siv Chinayin, Siv Gimel. The Rambam says, Ava, Yesh Lomanu Racheret, if he has another job, Afil Misakek in Yisrael, ain't a puzzle. Even if you take the money from another Jew, that doesn't make you puzzle Aedus. Ukvar Pashar Hamin Hak, the custom has become. People's minhag is a gamble. Vain puzzle elamishin la umunatalahu. So the only way to become puzzle edud is if that's your only parnasa. Okay, and that's what we're going to get to in source 8, which is going to help us decide which forms of gambling we could do on a once in a while basis. What is sikhe gimov ha'mana? There's a difference between, let's say I put $5 down, and you put $5 down, and then whoever wins takes it, versus I bet you $5, and then whatever happens, and then I go, okay, pay up. And you have to reach into your wallet and pay up. Meaning, the person who has the money in his wallet, and is not actually already out on the table, is less inclined to actually pay it, and therefore it's more problematic. Let's see his example in source 8. There's three rules. One, it's not up to him, it depends on other people. The case I didn't deal with you of Asmach, there's another case in the Gemara where a guy says, you know, I'll go to the marketplace and get fruit for you, and I'll buy wine for you, and if I don't buy it for you, I'll pay you a certain amount of money. So, I'm pretty sure I will get the wine, but what if all the wine sellers get together and decide not to sell me the wine? So then I have to pay you this money. So that's called biyad acherim. What was I to know that I somehow annoyed the guild of winemakers and they're not going to sell it to me? So that's one. But if it's completely out of my hands, and completely out of their hands, Gigon Masachik Bekubio, like spinning dice, which is totally random, total luck. She'en lo yodeo mi natseach alo. Ba'filo hachi yedna, and anyway I made that rule. Vaday gamar umakni misavek. I had Miris Das saying, if I lose, I'll pay. And if I win, I'll win. And I'm fully sure that I'm agreeing to pay if I lose. Ba'med var mamurin kishesokin ramaot muchanim. This is where the money is ready and out. You can't come up to him, the bookie, and says, ah, you bet $20 on Brazil. They lost. Pay up. That doesn't work. They're on the table. Mutter on the smoke. You can play it. The ain bo asmatan. It's not a problem. Not like those who say all gambling is mutter. Some people are even more machmir than it has to be everybody's table. If we all have a table that we use, okay, that's already getting into another level of it. But
so what are those three things?
Is I don't even know if I put all three here, but he says it's where it's completely up to chance. And you pay up in advance.
Okay?
I only put two on here because those are the two I need to go through our cases now. Okay, we have
and that's what,
10
that's
minutes
what
left, and I'm going to go through the cases.
Okay, that's
what?
That's what you're allowed to. It's completely up to chance, and the money on the table, you're allowed to.
And it's not your profession, of course.
So does that mean blackjack is out?
4 minutes, 1 second. Yeah. Before you ask
me, just a question. Smachta means that the issuer is the person taking money, right?
Yeah.
So technically, if you're gambling and you're losing, there's no issuer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're machshil the other person.
But in the other,
it's a casino.
Really, is that would you be able to pay over for that?
I assume.
So you can't lose.
Just, I'm sure we'll come up with examples, but just with regards to odds, where you...
But there's a chance?
It's chance,
very
low. But you go in with the odds, then...
Yeah, but usually when that happens, they pay 100 to 1, 10 to 1, etc.
Not necessarily odds, but like, I don't know, let's say blackjack is another example, but the odds are always against you. The casino's got the...
Okay, so let me sum up, and we'll go through some examples. For gambling to be mutter, what are the assumptions we have to make? Number one, we have to paskin like Rosh Hashanah. To be mutter, you have to paskin like Rosh Hashanah. Because if we paskin like Rami Bar Chama, there's no hope. And just know that not all Ashkenazim agree that we paskin like Rosh Hashanah. There do exist some possible Rami Bar Chama, but the Ramah is not one of those. The Ramah clearly passing like Rav Sheshet. Okay? So to be mother, you have to pass him like Rav Sheshet. So we've already eliminated Sephardim and some Ashkenaz. Second thing that we have to deal with is for Rashi. Passing like Rashi. It has to be completely up to chance. Be completely up to chance. And that's going to be an afkamina for certain games, like blackjack and poker.
Okay.
Poker, certainly, there's a skill. Do I keep two cards, three cards, four cards? There's got to be a skill to it. They put it on TV. There's like big sports events. And I assume they're not just having bingo on TV, right? There are snakes and ladders. Okay, there's got to be a skill to knowing how many cards there are in the deck and how many aces you saw so far and how many, you know, whether I should go on to and hold these two cards and do I take the chance for the straight? Do I take the chance for the four? Okay, that's all skill and strategy. So it's not completely up to chance. But to be mother, it has to be completely up to chance.
Are you saying it has to fulfill all these criteria?
Yes.
So you can never bet on sports? I never bet
on
sports.
You can.
I can, just to me it's up to chance.
But sports
Yeah,
if your sports team won the premiership, won the finals the last 10
but years. As in, if I bet you whether or not this team will win this game and I'm not playing in the game, and then the third thing is the Rama money.
What you learn?
Money has to be paid upfront. Now let's start examples one at a time. Office pool. Okay, office pool, school pool, whatever it is. There's worlds. There's brackets, right? You know. Have, then the next team goes, and then they play each other, and everybody fills out, I think this team's going to win, I think this team's going to win, they have tiebreakers, oh, the final score's going to be 4-2, whatever, okay? They have. I asked, because in America, I would just say March Madness, and everybody would know what I'm talking about, because college basketball, every March, just about every office in the country, there's an office pool, okay? And everybody would know what I'm talking about. So I checked before this class, and I was told that you guys have these for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yes? You fill out, this country's going to advance, this country's going to lose, this country, and then you fill it out. And they have all sorts of systems. Oh, if you get the most right, if you get the points right, if you get, okay. That's what it is. And everybody puts in, I don't know, $20, and they fill it out, and they count it up at the end, and whoever won, I don't know, the top three places, whatever it is, they win all the money. Okay. So now, number one, let's say we pass on like rotation. Number two, is it completely up to chance or not? Why not?
Because it's up to the players. And it's also up to like your...
But the people bet it. Is it completely up to chance?
Yeah.
Okay, so for you it's completely up to chance. There's one caveat for this. I myself have been in my life in an office where there was a pool, and I entered, and I literally could not name one player on any single team in the whole thing. I was doing it because it was, you know, chevra. It was fun. So therefore, for me, it was completely up to chance. I was just choosing based on the team names. But there are people there who think they know about it. I read every box score and read every report, every scouting report, and I read all the websites, and I know exactly which team is going to win. They don't, but they think they do. Okay? If you think you are better at it, if you think you have a skill, you are saying it's not completely up to chance. So therefore, to take the money from such a person, if he's a Jew, would be stealing from him. Okay? So, how could you do the office pool and you want to do it? You just have to go around ascertaining to each person. Are you just doing this like me, where it's nothing, where you have no idea and you're just filling it out? Or do you think you have some sort of insight, intuition as to why they're winning?
No one would do it if they don't want to like a...
No, not do you want to win. Everybody wants to win. Not allowed. So there is, in theory, a way to do that. Okay, Now, you know, you want to have a casino night, a bingo night, whatever it is, in your camp, in your bingo, whatever it is.
Bingo tonight.
Bingo. So bingo is completely up to chance. There's no skill. You have a board, they call out a number, there's nothing. There's nothing you're doing. Okay? So you have a board, you put it down, you pay attention, you check off your box. That's why they do it in churches and whatever for old ladies or in nursing homes. Because there's no skill, there's no brains involved. You just check off the number as it's done. Okay? So it's completely up to chance. If you pay off in advance, it wouldn't be a problem to take that. People ask about investing in the lottery, and then they get all scientists. I'm supporting the state of Israel. Okay, you're not, you know, I can give you a lot of good ways to support the state of Israel.
Lottery is fine.
Better than this, but is it really fine? Well, is the money on the table? You know, you can get into those figures. I saw that it was interesting. Sternbach came up with you're buying a lottery ticket, it has a certain value, like the potential to win.
Wait, Rav, is lottery fine? Is lottery not fine because the person you're taking from the money from is a Jew? Is that why lottery isn't fine?
A lot of people are Jews in the lottery.
No, it's lottery. I mean, in
Israel.
It is Israel.
They're all Jews. What's the difference?
That's why the lottery is awesome. That alone, yeah. The lottery is awesome.
Can a shul run a lotto? So there's already more room. Like a raffle, right? A lot of Jewish organizations have raffles. Why would that be okay? And I think it is because really every person who's buying that raffle ticket, they may be very happy to win, but what are they doing? They're making a donation to the shul. Right? You make a $50 check to the shul, you get, I don't know, 10 raffle tickets, 50 raffle tickets, whatever the cost of the raffle ticket is. But you're giving the donation to the shul. You're very happy to give the donation to the shul. You're happy to support them. If I win, I win. But really, so
that's different.
So then people say, okay, so we're just going to gamble for fun. I'm happy to support all these people. No, already when there is a tzarech mitzvah, so there's a reason to be mikol. But again, we have three rules. You have to realize we're passing like Rav Sheshet, which isn't a bad assumption because the Ramban does. You have another job. It's fine. You have no job with your students, but it's not because you're bookies. Okay? Two, is it completely up to chance? If it's completely up to chance, you're fine. If it's based on you having some kind of skill, and you think you have that skill, not allowed according to Rashi. And number three, the money is paid up front, so the person who collects has the money ready and waiting for him. Final questions.
How is lottery assumed? It's completely up to chance.
The lottery is really fine.
Is it completely out of the chance?
Yeah,
it is, right. It's like one could really...
So you're talking about the tables?
Yeah.
You pay the ticket.
Is there a problem with taking money from Jews?
No, because it's a chance.
But every Jew who's buying in knows that he's playing a game completely up to chance. You don't think that when you pick 7, 14, 21, that you're picking the... If you scratch off the ticket numbers better.
No, that's chance.
Okay, yeah, that's chance. So then it should be okay.
And what?
But I can still come up with better ways to support the government and the country.
How much skill is that needed in order to be considered?
Anything. If people think that they have a way of being better at it,
you know that you're probably going to lose. But
yes. Am I going to shoot a bullseye here? No, but you know, there's a high chance, and you know, there are people who are better at it, worse at it.
If there's a higher chance.
It doesn't matter if there's a chance. It matters if a person can be better or worse at it, or if it's completely up to them.
Okay,
let's be calm. If we all agree that whoever spins a 7 is going to win $100, and whoever doesn't loses, so even though it's a 1 in whatever chance, it's totally up to luck, that would be okay, and we all paid up front. That would be okay. But there, it's because there's nobody who's better at spinning dice and worse spinning dice. But if we have, you know, everybody's going to shoot at the target, whoever hits the target gets the money. Well, yeah, there are people who are better at shooting and hitting targets. If it's a foul shot-a-thon, then there's people who are better at hitting foul shots, right? If we play a horse for money, so I'm really good at hitting these crazy bank hook shots off the rafters, and you're not, then I'm going to win. Or I think I'm going to win, maybe even if you're better than me, but because I think I have some skill, I'm going to win, and that's awesome.
And what about the bunches?
You're paying for money. What happens if you want to pay for fun?
That's play poker for fun, where it's not gambling, it is allowed except in one case. What's the case where it's not allowed even for fun, where somebody has violated this and needs to do tshuva? The Rambam says the way to do tshuva for having inappropriately gambled is to not even do it when it's not for money. To do complete tshuva, you don't even do it for fun. So for everybody else, they can do it for fun.
When is there blackjack? When is blackjack
hated? When is blackjack, is it considered chance? I don't think so, because I think there's a skill to A, knowing when you should take knowing how many aces are in the deck and how many have come up already, counting the cards. So there's already a skill
involved. But I think it's a thing just about if you have a 14 or 12.
Yes.
It's also so
much.
No, you said it.
No, no, no.
Excuse me? I said please kind of be quiet then. The first thing was, the way it works by something like blackjack is in order to play, like you put in like $10 whatever it is.
You say that's okay. That's not enough for three.
I'm saying you know that $10 you either lose or you'll make $10. That's you know.
Is it completely up to chance?
That part, that initial $10 is completely up to chance. What you do after that, whether like...
No, but whether you win or not is completely up to chance.
But like, it kind
it's
of...
the court to
the court, no, but it's...
Right, they should decide whether to hit me or not.
Right, but the whole thing is that the initial time you put down...
So you have this skill. It's not completely up to chance.
But the whole thing is that...
You decide.
Initially, you can either lose that or win it. As in like, initially it's up to the cards. What you do after that, like, as a...
Guys, if you fail your horses initially, you can either win
or lose. Okay, thank you for coming. Chicago.